Do you feel like some connection to the history of the social struggle in Israel, or the socialists or utopian ideas
of what
the founding of the state Israel or
well, I think a good example to this is really what in Israel is a kibbutz, which is supposedly the socialist utopian idea for a communing life in Israel. And all these kibbutzes are, first of all, a very also in kibbutz are only Jewish, of course, and in most of them you will never find Jewish people who are originally from Eastern or Arabian countries. Only West European people live there, and all these places basically are built on all the Palestinian villages.
Not all of them, but some. I mean,
some of them, yeah. I mean, not all of them, but you cannot deny it if you want to look at the.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, in the beginning of the 20th century, there was like some socialist and anarchist movement in Palestine. It was before the state of Israel, and some of them were, let's say, cool groups and cool, and they had good ideas and were heavily based upon, I don't know, like teachings of socialist ideas of, I don't know, of Gustav Landauer, and, you know, doing like creating a community based, not waiting for the revolution, but creating already now. But the thing is, they left very little legacy. Once the state of Israel started, and there was that massive immigration before the Second World War from Europe, when they started hearing there were problems, Palestine was over flooded with Jewish immigration, that they had to like compromise all their ideas. And by the time when the state of Israel was pronounced, they pretty much kind of had to be very moderate and conform to being inside a state and working through the state, which the state itself had nothing to do with the socialist values. So, yeah, today, even these few kibbutz which remain don't have much of
a lot of the kibbutzes are actually dying. They don't have a lot of money, and they are being privatized, all their services there. I think the number of these kibbutzes where people are staying there and living there, and their kids want to stay and live there, are really getting less.
I mean, it's funny because once you say that the best soldiers come from the kibbutz, that's how to show you how this kind of, how shall we call this, national socialist mentality came inside. Yeah. That it's socialist, but only for people from the right, you know, group. But this was already in like around the 40s and 50s. But I mean, this also has to do with the militaristic culture, etc., etc. So, on that aspect, Israel never really maintained a continual, really socialist movement. You had waves. You had certain groups that started stuff. You had the Black Panthers in the 70s, which were like people from Arab countries and Eastern Mediterranean countries, which started stuff and were very radical for the poor people, for the radical, for the people who are discriminated, and had a very socialistic kind of way of seeing stuff. But after the movement got cracked down pretty much, you know, it also disappeared. And also other anarchist or radical left movements, they exist for a few years, they stop, and there's no continuation of their same ideas. But I think for the last 10, 15 years, there's a small continuation, basically.
Yeah, you just start something new from a new situation that emerged out of all these troubles.
I think so, very much so, actually. I mean, I remember the first Intifada. You never heard of anything about Israelis. I remember I was a kid at the time, but I still remember. I was like, wow, it would be nice to see Israelis in front of the tanks, not only demonstrating Tel Aviv, but like, you know, really in front of the Israeli tanks. And it's a thing that I thought will only happen like kind of in my wildest dreams, you know, that it will be Israelis against Israeli soldiers, because that would show that there's a real radical left or a real radical resistance. And now they develop kind of by surprise almost and became so massive relatively, something really significant. I mean, I can feel it. I mean, it's not that I have to wait a few years to look back on this. I feel it now. I mean, for me personally, that it's a big change, that really doing actions which for years you could never really achieve, and being really in a certain way, let's say, successful in the whole, the big picture. I mean, even if they build the wall and everything, there was a resistance, and it was a real resistance, and it changed people's views and minds and what they're capable of doing and how much they're capable of doing. So, I mean, it was like how Abel Paz was talking about, you know, the Spanish Revolution, you know, that it might have, on one way, it might have, the revolution might have failed, but on the other part, the fact is that people managed to run over the factories, collectivize them, and succeed in working the machines and succeed in running everything. It showed that on that aspect, it's possible, and it worked.
So for the two-state or one-state or no-state solution,
the solution. Now that's
solution,
the question we hate the most.
Okay.
Like, you know, because it's like always people ask, what is your solution? I mean,
it's hard to tell now.
I think what we're doing now is part of the solution.
Yeah.
Personally.
That's what I was aiming at. Like, it's the start of.
It has to be organic. It cannot be imposed from on top. You know, it has to come from the people and feel what they want, but communication. And communication is the first basis for any kind of real solution.
Thank you.